All right. Who has a praise to share this morning?
Well, my praise is that we're alive and well, and God is good all the time. Hallelujah.
All the time.
Thank you, Jesus.
100% of the time. Maybe a little more often than that, even. If there is such a thing. Who else has a praise? Nona?
I have floor tile at a reasonable price.
Did you find it?
Enough to do all the wet areas in the house.
Cool. Very good. So who else has a praise? Well, there's one coming in. Brenda's back out of the hospital, and she's going to eat something else besides hospital food today.
That's pretty exciting.
And I have a praise this family. Pastor Steve, we haven't spent a great deal of time together because he's working and I'm working, and we're both going in different directions. But we've gotten to spend enough time together to know a little bit more about each other. And I think it's going to be a long-term relationship. I don't know what God's going to do with it, but he's in it. It's a good thing. And we're just thrilled to get to know them and their family, get to see what God's got coming. You know, that's one thing I've learned about the Lord. He is always up to something. He's up to something. And it's almost always a surprise so that you know it's him, not just some other coincidence or circumstance.
You know, there is a song about he's always up to something. There is a song, I don't know the song. But there
really? A song about Jesus always up to something?
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to learn that one. That sounds like my kind of music.
Up to something.
Well, what's he been up to in your life this week? Give me another praise here. Yes, Carrie.
Yeah, my sales are down, my funds are low, but that's okay. I'm okay. Everything will be good.
It will be. God is good all the time. Yes, Randy.
We have our floor down. He's got 2 days to put baseboard trims up, and then hopefully he'll be starting on our shower. Regardless, we're moving back to our house next Saturday.
Okay, who else has praise? Now we get off this building stuff. I'm sick and tired of hearing about building all week.
I got another one. My heart's back.
Good. Good. Amen. Good. Anybody else? No? Yeah. Going once? Oh, come on. I know God did not take the week off.
No.
I have a praise. Jamie did a really good job Thursday, and I had a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. We had a good turnout.
Well, we had all these wonderful Thanksgivings, and there's no praise for them this morning. There's the first one.
All praise and thanks all Thanksgiving.
We had some real good visits with our kids. I even got out for a couple hours of flounder fishing. Caught my limit.
Flounders. Wow.
Where'd you go?
Call the name of the fish I love, flounders. Oh,
to the bay.
So good.
It's really not much of a brag to catch your limit because the limit's two.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Two?
Okay.
I thought it was.
Well, she caught two. That's.
Anybody else? Yes, Steve.
Yeah, we had this was the first Thanksgiving in, 35 years that we have not had Thanksgiving, you know, for as far as with the family and whatnot. But it was interesting. You know, we had a good time. We were enjoying ourselves in the hospital and eating hospital food and all of that. But you know, God is good wherever you go. One of the things that was a blessing was that we have Brenda's mom and my mom are still alive, and they're on their own by themselves, and our children. Most of our boys are at home yet or in the area, but they've been busy with life and they haven't been able to see their grandparents for quite a long time. So I put out a feeler to them saying, hey, we're not going to be around. See what you can do. Well, at any rate, they ended up Skyping with us a couple of times, and both of them, four of the boys, went and visited both the grandmas during that day. They took their time out and spent a lot of time with them, and it was such a blessing for them and for us and for my mom and her mom. So we're just so glad that they were able to do it. I mean, it's the first time that's ever happened.
Well, it wouldn't have if you hadn't been stranded here.
Exactly.
And God definitely knows what he's doing. He is the master of everything. All right, well, let's go to Exodus and see if we can ever get these children of Israel out of Egypt here. We're going to try to get them out of Egypt, but actually, we are up to, or down to, I guess I should say, verse 21 of chapter 14. But the lesson today, I want us to go back and talk about a little snippet of information, a blessing, a subject that is in the middle of all this that I want to spend a little bit of time on today. In chapter 14, verse 15, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward? But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. An angel of God which went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. The pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night."
That was so cool. On one side of that pillar of cloud, it's dark on the Egyptians' campsite, and casting light to Israel.
What do you suppose God wants from you?
Honor,
love, glory,
out of praise and honor,
loyalty,
obedience,
worship.
What do you suppose He wants more than anything else from you?
Love,
trust,
heart,
trust in Him.
If you start looking up things in the Bible, you're going to find a big list of a lot of things. And just about the biggest list that I know of, now I haven't done an extensive listing to be able to count everything, but just about the biggest list that I know of is one of the first things that you spoke out, and that is honor. Does God deserve to be honored by us?
Yes.
Yes. Very much.
Well, sure He does.
Oh, yes.
He deserves honor. And you'll find it mentioned, honor and glory and praise and all those names, but they're all kind of spotlighting back to one main thing, and God desires honor.
"You shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself."
Yeah. God wants to be loved. But God's going to receive honor even from those that do not love Him.
Yeah.
That's going on here in our text, actually. I don't think the Egyptians have any particular love for the Lord, do you? No, anything but. God consistently requires from us honor. Why do we give this day to the Lord? Now, some really do and some really don't. And you can get legal about it and start it, you know, make sure you put in the full 24 hours of it and that sort of thing. The Sabbath is Saturday. It's a day of rest. The Sabbath was not replaced and Sunday did not become the Sabbath. But Sunday became the Lord's Day as a day celebrating the resurrection. And as our day of worship, it has replaced the Sabbath. Sunday is not the Sabbath. Saturday still is the Sabbath. It didn't change.
Amen.
And the Sabbath still has great importance in a lot of different ways and areas. But Sunday is the Lord's Day. So I'm going to take you to a scripture that's going to be talking about the Sabbath, but all the principles are going to apply to the Lord's Day. They're going to apply to Sunday as well. So I want you to go to Isaiah 58. And 13, and I want you to see the heart of God when it's concerning this issue of honor. The Lord is talking about the blessings that He is desiring to give Israel, His children. And by the way, we are Israel, his children, by virtue of the promises of Abraham being transferred to us through Jesus Christ. You go over in the New Testament, you're going to find out that Abraham's promises belong to us now by virtue of belonging to Christ. But here's what he says about honor. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it.
Amen.
God says, if you will take my day, and you will honor me. What's that mean? That means you don't keep it for yourself.
That's right.
That means it's not all about you anymore. It's this day. Yeah, Monday's about my customers and my work and this and all that. And by the way, the church members are my customers and my work all week long. So it doesn't change. Just the actual time spent doing what changes around a lot. But that's one thing. Tuesday's another, Wednesday's another, and so on and so forth. But when it comes to the Lord's Day, this day belongs to the Lord. Why?
Because it's his day. Acts for it.
Because it is for his honor, and he is worthy.
Lord and Lord.
Well, that's fine for the preacher. Let me tell you something. That's fine for everybody that names the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. Yes, Gilbert.
He himself, upon creation, rested on the seventh day and honored it and made it a commandment for us to take the time with him, to have a relationship with him.
Yeah. There was a change that took place in the New Testament. The first church, they still went to the synagogue on Saturday. They still read Moses on Saturday in the synagogue, but they met on the first day of the week to do what they could not do in the synagogue, and that is to honor the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The one thing about the ordinance of the church, well, most people think that, well, there's two church ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, but it's not really that way. There are actually three ordinances given by example and by command, and we may not have the specific commands written in the scriptures, but the results of them are there. There are three. One is the observance of the Lord's Supper. The other is the practice of believers' baptism. And the third is the worship on the first day of the week. And those three ordinances, and those are practices that are to go on in the church from till Jesus comes. Those three ordinances preach a tremendous message. The Lord's Supper is primarily the message of the death of the Lord. Baptism is the burial. And the first day of the week is the celebration of the resurrection. So what do you see in that picture? You see the gospel laid out in it illustrates the gospel very clearly. So you get to see that. But the Lord, regardless of what your thoughts are on what should still be done on the Sabbath versus what should still be done on a Sunday, Jesus came to John the Apostle on the Lord's Day, and that day was first day of the week, and that's what we have in Revelation, and that's what it's called in the Bible. Today is the Lord's Day. But God says it's a day of honor. Everything we do today here, everything is about that church. Yeah, we're going to learn some things, and that's all good for us and all that. This is why the praises are the most important thing we do in Bible class. I know you don't probably see that, but that's because of our selfish hearts, frankly, because the praises are the part of this that Jesus gets. Yeah, he's going to get some praise, like right now he's getting some, but when each and every individual has the opportunity to honor him, this is what the Lord's Day is about. It's a day of honor for Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, who are one. And then he tells us how that's to happen. It's to be an exclusive day. It's to be dedicated to him. Scripture after scripture, the Bible promises And that promise, you can see, you can read it right here in Isaiah 58. What did God say would happen in the lives of those that honored him? He says, "And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." There's a tremendous promise comes to this. You could do anything for the wrong reason. I mean, you can buy your wife flowers because you're in trouble and you want to get out of trouble. And that, well, that necessarily might not be the wrong reason, actually, but there are a lot of things you can do for the wrong reason. And you could honor the Lord for the return, couldn't you? And there is a tremendous return in honoring the Lord. I bask in that return every day of my life. I'm blessed beyond measure, and it's all about one thing. It's about God doing what he said he would do. But I will tell you this, and I have been tested on it, by the way, that even if he stops blessing, I won't stop honoring, because if God never did one solitary thing for me the rest of my life, I could never, ever pay back even a fraction of what he's already done.
Amen.
And so he, you know, we honor the Lord primarily because he simply deserves it. It's what we're made to do. The honor issue of the return is, well, go to 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. You know, there's one thing that God said. There's one thing that God said here in dealing with the Egyptians. It's kind of a primary truth. It's a principle, if you will. He said, "I will get me honor on the Egyptians." Do you think God's going to get his honor out of your life? Do you think it would be more acceptable if you brought it first instead of making God come get it? In 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." God promises to honor those that honor him.
Amen.
Wisdom dictates that you ought to be one of those, and that I ought to be one of those. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, how foolish is it to know this stuff and then keep the Lord's day to ourselves and use it for us instead of giving the Lord that day and that honor? And that goes for a whole lot of other things as well. But they're all about honor. Do you think God's short of money?
No.
Well, now, I mean, come on, you know. Well, I think he does need it. He uses it a lot, doesn't he? Does God use money a lot?
Today's society.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen him use it a bunch. Well, in Malachi, oh, no, he's going to talk about tithing. Hey, I'm the teacher. I could talk about tithing if the Lord lets me, and I want to. And I love to talk about tithing. It's one of my favorite subjects in the Bible, by the way. How many of you know that from experience? I have no qualms or inhibitions whatsoever in talking about tithing or money or giving when it comes to the Lord. I really don't. One of the most exciting things that I see new Christians do is finally learn to give. Malachi 1:6. "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? What did I do now?" Bunch of whining. Yeah, like God doesn't know. He offered the blind lamb for a sacrifice because it wouldn't sell for anything. How is your sacrifice that you bring to honor the Lord? How does it compare with what you do for yourself and for others?
Yeah, really.
Oh, got quiet in here. I told you, I like to preach on this subject. I don't have any qualms about it. And if you have to feel bad, it'll only be for a little while, so you fix it, and then you'll feel real good.
Amen.
Whoever you be.
Well, you know, I know in my case, I spend a lot more money when it should go to tithing.
God doesn't ask for your money.
Well, I know.
Tithing.
No, wait a minute, wait a minute. Think about that for a minute. Does God ask for your money?
He asks for his.
He asks for his. He does. Yeah. The tithe isn't your money. Now, the offering, God doesn't ask for that. Matter of fact, if he has to ask for it, he'd just soon not have it.
He wants a cheerful giver.
He won't. Don't want it.
Now, so think about that for a minute. No, God does not ask for your money. The tithe, of course, is not your money, but what I want you to understand, and this I know what the Lord wants you to understand this morning, is that it's not about money. It has never been about money. He does not need your money. He doesn't even need his money. But he wants and deserves honor. And tithing is honor. What's Proverbs 3:9 say? Somebody can you quote it? It says, "Honor the Lord with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine."
Amen.
And that's true.
Well, it is true. It's exactly what God promised in 2 Samuel. It's exactly what God promised in Isaiah. It's exactly what he promises in the end of Malachi. It's what he promises in Luke 6. 38, it's what he promises in 2 Corinthians 9. It's what he promises all the way through the scripture. If we will honor the Lord. Well, you say, well, I sing. Good. I praise the Lord when, do you bring God his tithe? No? Well, that's not only bad, it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad. It really is. Tithing's Old Testament, huh? Steve?
If it's not about money and it's about honor, then what do you think it is that keeps people from honoring the Lord by giving?
I think it's selfishness. I think it is conditioning.
It's not trusting in the Lord. You don't trust in the Lord. You give. And it's like everything you said is in black and white through our book. And they don't trust the Lord enough for them to return what they're giving. It's scary.
Tithing is the first step of faith for a new believer. I want you to just, you know how it is with kids. You don't get them started right, it's real hard to turn them around later.
Oh, yeah.
But when they start out right, it's a whole lot easier to get them started right and keep them on track than it is to try to turn them around later when they've gone south on you. Well, what's the command? The first command is to believe on the Lord and be saved. That's the first command. The second command is of things that you do. Now, we're not just talking about the heart. Of course, loving the Lord, and we know that's a heart issue. It's also very literal of what we do as well. But your second one is to be baptized. Is it not?
Yeah.
All those that gladly received his word were baptized, every one of them, and they were added to the church when they were baptized. So the first command is to get saved. The second command is to be added to the church. Well, what's the first thing that's going to be on your heart? Whether I preach it or don't, you're still going to be thinking about it once you're a church member. You start doing what church members do. And one of the things that church members do is to tithe. So you're faced with this decision right here. It's right here in front of you, not very long after you got saved. You're saved, now you're in a church, and now what am I going to do? I got, I'm making $800 a month, and my bills are about $710 a month, and based on the American economy of how people with credit cards do things. And, I got this bill to pay, and 10% of the Lord is going to make me short of being able to pay the bill. So you got to face this decision. Well, you trusted Jesus to save you, didn't you?
Yep.
He doesn't say tithe if you got the money. Why is it that tithing is not whether or not you got the money? Why is that? Who can tell me? There's a very simple reason.
He'll give it back to you.
Sometimes. Sometimes not. He doesn't guarantee it, by the way. He already gave it to you once, didn't he? Or you wouldn't have it in the first place. The very simple reason is Proverbs 3:9. But there's something first. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. If you honor the Lord with the first fruits of your increase and you made $1,000, you don't have $1,000 to deal with on the bill. You got $900 because the first fruit went to the Lord before you even looked at the budget. You said, well, what if I can't pay all the bills? Well, what happened last time you couldn't pay all the bills? Don't tell me there hadn't been a month where you couldn't pay all the bills. You didn't die. They didn't come and eat you. You survived it somehow. The young Christian is faced, am I going to trust God and do what God told me to do, or am I not? And the stories from young Christians